seminary once told how he heard a young man speak briefly at a seminary function years ago. Dr. Staley was impressed with the lucidness and logic of the young man's speech and said to him, "Young man, I was impressed with what you said and the way you said it. I think you're going to go a long way." The young man thanked Dr. Staley graciously, only to be rocked back on his heels when Dr. Staley questioned, "And what are you going to see when you get there?" I sincerely desire that all our graduates may go a long way in terms of a fruitful, successful life of service for Christ. I am confident that you are going to have something worth seeing, and that will be life enriching to others because you have chosen to study at Southeastern Seminary. If you're not the kind of person who feels a sense of gratitude for the things that I have enumerated, our heritage, the faculty and administration that has contributed to your theological development, the financial support of the seminary by our denomination, I fear that your usefulness in the master's service is going to be seriously impaired. And to be perfectly frank, if you are seriously deficient in the quality of gratitude, I would not want you to be my pastor or missionary co-laborer or chaplain counselor or co-worker in whatever endeavor you give your life to. I have spoken of the stream of gratitude that flows from our lives to Southeastern. Let us focus for just a few moments on the stream that should flow from the seminary to its graduates, because it's a matter of that stream working in two directions, from graduates to school, from school out to graduates. A seminary should be mindful that her greatest resource for support over the years is the goodwill of her graduates. If this goodwill is encouraged and cultivated, the graduate will likely become a tower of strength in his support of the school. Our seminary manifests its gratitude for its graduates in various ways. The gracious notes of appreciation from President Binkley for every alumni gift reflect his gracious spirit and the gratitude of the school. The seminary's encouragement and support of the pastor seminar in the spring is most helpful. Faculty visits, I know they're tedious, but faculty visits to the state alumni meetings in the fall keep us in touch with our school. I would like to suggest, however, that another way Southeastern can say we're grateful for you and are remembering you in your ministry would be for the faculty to periodically compile a list of books that we should add to our libraries to keep us up to date and relatively well read in the various fields of study. This list might be run in the alumni magazine in addition to the fine book reviews carried. The seminary will demonstrate its gratitude for its graduates by endeavoring to maintain academic excellence and respectability in the theological world. Southeastern has sought throughout its history to maintain high academic standards. I am grateful that in the years that have elapsed since I graduated, I have never had to apologize for the academic reputation of our school. Our seminary will further demonstrate its appreciation for its graduates by endeavoring to maintain a good relationship and build a good image within the framework of the Southern Baptist denomination, from which it draws the preponderance of its support financially and student-wise. Our school's image can either endear it to the rank and file of Southern Baptist or make it a reproach to them. What Southern Baptists are believing and saying about our school will reflect upon the graduates, just as what we are preaching, teaching, and representing will reflect on the seminary. I am fully aware that when a seminary does its most conscientious job, there are going to be those inside and outside our denomination who will freely criticize it. Please understand that I speak as one within the family who loves this school and loyally supports it when I say that, in my estimation, it is regrettable that we are characterized by some Southern Baptists as being the most liberal Southern Baptist school. Perhaps this reputation represents a carryover from the period 10 to 15 years ago when we were under some fire in our denomination. Perhaps this reputation is a reflection of an impression given by some of our graduates. I don't know the why of this characterization in every instance, but I am confident that I speak for the vast majority of our alumni when I say that I would rather hear Southeastern characterized in other terms. I would prefer hearing Southern Baptists say, Southeastern is our warm, evangelical seminary that instructs students in the fundamentals of the faith with a wholesome reverence for the Word of God, equipping them well for ministry in a world in need of God's reconciling grace in Christ. Such a reputation will endear our school to the overwhelming majority of our Southern Baptist constituency. I want our school to be loved and trusted and supported throughout our convention. 2 years ago, as I prepared to leave the convention hall to attend our national alumni meeting in uptown Philadelphia, a lady approached me to express gratitude that I had invited her son and daughter-in-law, then in college, to attend our alumni meeting. The lady was not certain which alumni meeting I was taking them to and questioned me as to what seminary I represented. I replied with a great deal of pride, Southeastern Seminary. Her countenance immediately dropped, and she quickly retorted, "Oh, that's that liberal seminary, isn't it?" I didn't have the time to inquire as to the basis for her characterization, but I have heard similar statements re-echoed too many times over the Carolinas. I have served 14 years in the state of North Carolina in the pastorate, 6 years in the state of South Carolina, and I hear many reflections and expressions regarding our seminary. I am concerned that faculty members, trustees, administration, and alumni keep on working diligently to shore up our image. I want to see our seminary so much in the center of Southern Baptist confidence and affection that our graduates will be sought to serve in leadership capacities all over the Southern Baptist Convention. Let me make one suggestion as a concerned alumnus that I feel could be helpful in improving our image. Alumni have been allowed for years to designate a part of our annual alumni gift for a chair of evangelism. To my knowledge, however, no concerted drive has been announced to facilitate the establishment of this chair. If our trustees and administration will agree to challenge our alumni and friends to establish this chair, I am confident that hundreds of our alumni would pledge their financial support, especially if we propose to attract a strong man in the area of evangelism to the faculty. There is nothing that will counteract a reputation for liberalism like a reputation for being soundly evangelistic. A true spirit of evangelism is always accompanied by sound doctrine and a reverence for God's Word. When I was a student at Southeastern, we were frequently reminded that the strength and vitality of our denomination rested on a tripod. The legs of that tripod were labeled missions, education, and evangelism. It is imperative that every leg be strong. We should recognize the interdependence and interrelation of these three areas. Our missionary enterprise is dependent on Baptist higher education, both college and seminary, to remain strong. Our educational system is vitally related to the evangelistic efforts of our churches. The young men whom we have seen leave our church in Union to enter college and seminary in preparation for the ministry have been vitally influenced by the evangelistic thrust of our church. When our Southern Baptist churches ceased to be evangelistic and mission-minded, the source of our youth following God's leadership to our Baptist colleges and seminaries will dry up to a trickle. It is the goal of Southeastern that its graduates be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Is a man thoroughly furnished who is incapable of sitting down and bearing witness to the saving power of Jesus Christ? I share my concern that Southeastern should strengthen her emphasis in the area of evangelism for a reason. 6 months ago, a denominational servant sat with me and related, not in a critical vein, related how in recent years he had had occasion to assist 6 young pastors, all Southeastern graduates, in evangelistic visitation. None of these young pastors had ever led a lost person to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is my honest conviction that a young man or woman who is not equipped to reach out after the lost in the name of Christ is not thoroughly furnished for the work of the ministry. If our seminary and other Southern Baptist theological schools do not strengthen their curriculum in the area of evangelism, we may very well see a proliferation of seminaries and Bible institutes like the newly organized Mid-America Seminary in Little Rock, which is Southern Baptist in sympathy and avowedly committed to a strong emphasis in the areas of missions and evangelism. We can ill afford to look down our noses in contempt on such efforts. We must squarely face the fact that these schools are drawing considerable support from Southern Baptist ministers, churches, and ministerial students. If we are wise, we will work to strengthen our existing seminaries in the area of evangelism. Since March 1897, when Dr. A.T. Robertson of Southern Seminary suggested in a faculty meeting that mission should henceforth have the same standing as any other class in the seminary, missions courses and comparative religion have been developed to a place of esteem in all of our seminaries. Now, let us bring classes in the area of evangelism up to full stature. Southeastern will do a service for its students by equipping them for a ministry of outreach in Christ's name. Now let the streams of gratitude flowing from graduates and seminary converge into a mighty stream of gratitude to God that He has called us to be co-laborers with Him and laborers together in His kingdom. Could any sound be sweeter to God than our choruses of gratitude blended together in harmonious unison? Henry Kidd Douglas, aide to General Thomas Stonewall Jackson, recorded how one October evening in 1862, after he had accompanied the general to a prayer meeting with the troops and had returned to their tents at the edge of the camp, the hour of tattoo came and the rolling drums scattered it all through the camp. Suddenly, out on the beautiful night, there broke forth a wild and joyous yell for which the Stonewall Brigade was famous. Other brigades and divisions took it up, and it sprang from camp to camp with increasing vigor until the bright arch of heaven seemed to resound with a thundering acclaim. The mingled roar was grand, peculiar and impressive in the extreme. When it was at its height, the general came out of his tent bareheaded and, walking to the fence, leaned his elbow on the topmost rail. Resting his chin upon his hand, he waited in silence for the climax, fall, and conclusion of this strange serenade. The shouts decreased. The noise became fainter and fainter. And when it had almost ceased to be audible, he lifted his head to catch the last note of its last echo. When it was all over, he returned slowly to his tent and said in soliloquy as he entered, "That was the sweetest music I ever heard." Let the class of 1974 orchestrate its gratitude to God and Southeastern with such a mounting crescendo that it will spread from class to class and reverberate until the bright arch of heaven resounds with our thunderous acclaim of gratitude. That will assuredly be sweet music to God. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget.
Benediction is by the Reverend Michael K. Moore, president of the 1973-74 student body.
Let us pray. Now, Father, give us hearts of gratitude and lives of service, in the spirit, the life, and the love of Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.